Jack, thank you, Gail, thank you. Richard, nice to see you up there. Let's give them both some more love. You're welcome to go down, Richard, yeah. You don't want to have to sit there while I talk. But everybody else does. Good morning again. It's good to see you guys. We were all wondering, okay, how many are going to come venture out? I love it. So we're starting the year with the thing itself. And with all the CSL churches in January, all of our spiritual centers, a lot of them anyway, are coming back and returning back to the basics of Science of Mind, of our philosophy. And using the Science of Mind textbook, which was written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. And in 1936, Dr. Holmes wrote this textbook, but he had come from a lecturing place. He was a lecturer, and he read, and he spoke, and he wrote to help us live a better life, to give us the true essence of who we are. And his intention was never to create a religion, but he ended up with so many followers that everybody wanted more, and they wanted to continue with their learning and with their studies, because this is an ever ongoing philosophy, Science of Mind is. And whenever we look at that textbook, it's so much fun for me to return, and I still have my original textbook. I started in Science of Mind in 1980, and I took one of the first classes, and I argued with Ernest Holmes, because I had just left a marriage that I felt was very controlling, and so I read Ernest Holmes, and I felt it was equally controlling. And so I took the class, and I was there for about a year, and then I left. Because I left the other thing, I left that too. And I still, in the margins of my original book, have my arguments with Ernest that I so cherish, because there are going to be times in our lives that we bump up against this philosophy, we bump up against our beliefs, and we need to acknowledge them. And so I acknowledge them in the margin of my book. Now, that book is so precious to me because it's also extremely underlined. And it was the book that went with me through all my classes and through practitioner class and through practitioner one, practitioner two class. And it's one of my greatest treasures because it taught me. And when we read in that textbook, and as I was rereading it, you read that you are one and divinely connected with something greater than yourself. You read that there is a life force, a creator in and through all things, and in our studies and in our learning of our understanding of our unique unity with all that life is, the very thing itself, Ernest talks about, is in the first chapter. And he was kind of smart to do that, because Ernest Holmes called it, capital I, the power back of creation, the very thing itself, giving it absolutely many names. I think somebody went through the textbook and counted how many names Ernest has for our creator, and here are a few. First cause, spirit, mind, invisible essence, the divine, and so much more. And every once in a while, he just puts it, capital I. See, because I believe Dr. Holmes wanted us to truly get a sense of our unique self and not to be sideswiped or sidestepped by one word, God. And yet it brings us always back to that one word, God, the divine, the beloved. I try not to always use it, but I love God. I love the word God. And if by chance using that only one word, you see, would stop you, Ernest Holmes was smart enough to think, I've got to find many words for the one thing, the one power, so that nobody is hindered by it or stopped by that word. It's important for our own discovery of our divine self. And so Dr. Holmes brings us many ways to say the same thing. To know that all of life has its beginning from one place, one power, one creator. And he says it in a myriad of ways. And beginning students of this truth read this stuff and say there's a contradictory here. But he says it over here and he says it over there. And really what's happening, at least it did for me, is the grist for the mill. What do I believe? What do I want to know about this? How many different variations of creation from the one thing itself? How many different ways and paths to that truth by whatever name, there is only one. And if you don't get anything today, please get that. That there is a power for good and you can use it. We say that here all the time. Whatever name, there's only one. So let's begin with the notion that there is only one thing going on, one base of the foundation of all of life, right now, always. Only one. Yeah, you getting that? Couple of you, good. Anybody else? Good. I love it. While the world often looks like lots of competing energies, anybody notice the competing energies? And ideas? It's really the multifaceted ways in which the one thing is trying to get our attention and showing up in so many different ways, giving us numerous ways to live, numerous choices to make that we can make individually. Because you see, God gives us the freedom, or it gives us the freedom, or the thing itself gives us the freedom to say, what do you believe? Not because of something out there, but because of something in here. And I don't know about you, but that wasn't the way I was taught. And as I was reading it this morning, and I did think back to 1980 and my argument with it and my struggle with it and leaving it. And then I became a devout student of the Course in Miracles because I could study that on my own and I could connect to my awareness of God within me, and it was nobody else's business but mine. And then finally by, I think it was 88, Spirit said, you need like minds. You need to be with other people who believe the same way that you do. And it was time. I would like to say it was so easy and I flowed through it effortlessly. But I had a will of my own. Anybody understand that? I had beliefs of my own that kept arguing with what this was. What do you mean there's only one? I can tell you a number of things that are just driving me crazy. So there can't be one all-loving, all-nurturing presence, I would say. But think of it like this. Let's start to simplify it. Because, you know, at that time, nobody could really simplify it for me. And if you read Ernest Holmes, and that's why we want to take these classes. Because we want to understand who we are in it, not anybody else. You see, Ernest Holmes was so smart. He gave us so many ways to look at our own divine self, to look at our humanities, and to make a decision of who am I and how do I want to be in the world and what am I going to say to myself on a regular daily basis. So let's simplify it. So think of it like this. Think of it like you're walking into a bakery. Take a deep breath. And you know as soon as you walk in, you take that deep breath and you breathe it in, and there's lots of delightful smells, yes, and lots of goodies, all different sizes, shapes, colors, and yet from one ingredient, one basic ingredient, all of that comes from. Take a breath, breathe in that delightful, the goodies in the case, so many choices. Gluten-free. I have to tell you, I'm a side junkie, listen. Went to Portland, and Rick's son was so excited. He says, Maggie, you have got to come to this bakery. He says, it's all gluten-free. I said, oh, good. I walked in, and for years, I have not had such choices. The choices were so huge, I couldn't make a decision. Because you see, I get to go into bakeries and just smell and take it in. But notice that everything starts from the one ingredient. You started from the one ingredient. Life, the very breath, the very blood within you, all. And yet you're different, thank you God. What if we had 12 Maggies lined up? I would not like that. Thank you very much. And neither would you. I love the variation of ingredients that each one of us bring to this community, to all of life. To me, it's getting more and more exciting. However, when we understand that we are unique divine expressions and we get to be and act and live from our own uniqueness. You can have raisins in you, but you know, if you put coconuts on you, I'm not really going to care for it very much because I don't care for coconut. But isn't that wonderful? You do. There's plenty for you. I'll leave that for you. Do you see? So everything in the bakery is divine. Just because I can't eat it all doesn't mean it's not perfect for everyone. Next, that it all comes from that one intelligence, the creator, the baker. So we can call God the baker. Of course it comes from one. We each have access to the baker, which from Ernest Holmes in Reading Science of Mind, is from the one mind. There's only one mind, one central mind that is with uniquely expressing in and through and as each one of us. And we can use any of the ingredients of the one mind to make our perfect bakery item. The infinite intelligence says, use me. Use whatever you need to live the life that is perfectly there for you. Through your own expressions and through your own likes, choose and love so simple who you are. It's there for all of us to understand this. One place in the universe, one life within us. Ernest Holmes says, we are each potentially perfect. However, free will and self-choice cause us to appear imperfect or to say we are, yes? Have you told yourself from day one you're perfect, whole and complete? Good for you, I haven't. Working on it. Here it is. From ignorance of our own thinking, based on our limitations that we've taken on personally, we feel limited, looking for someone else to blame or something else to blame, or we blame ourselves. And nothing outside of us can be true until we're willing to discover the truth within us. As I was rereading this part of the textbook and thinking about the path that brought me from 1980 to this moment, and now no matter what I thought or no matter what I believed, that there was a power, the baker, who loved me, guided me through these different events of my life so that I could learn to love myself in a greater way and to talk to myself from a loving, kind place. I think the thing that I've learned the most, that benefits me the most, is certainly needing to put these things together to support us all in our growth and unfoldment, but first it's for me. Do you see? It always is first for us, individually. What do you want? What do you want to learn? What serves your soul? What opens your heart? See, there are many ways for each of us to cover up our wholeness or to just open the door and say, you know, wholeness is the foundation of my life. I am whole, perfect, and complete. And anything about me that says I'm not, I'm willing to let go of. I'm willing to be open and receptive. Because this philosophy says we're whole, perfect, and complete, and we need do nothing to know that except to claim it. So I'm going to invite us to look at this through one of my most favorite symbols, and that's the Taoist, the yin and the yang. I'm sure you know this symbol. And I like this because this is what, in my opinion, that's why you notice what I'm wearing, black and white. Okay. God is totally all there is, perfect, whole, and complete. And in the light, there's a point of darkness, and in the darkness, there's a point of light. And we absolutely, if you notice it, it kind of flows. And I think, in my opinion, this tells us what life is. That we are the light. And yet there's a point of darkness in all of us. And it's ours to understand it's there. The other day, something happened, and I was angry because I spilled something, and it wasn't my fault. Rick had left it there. Notice it. I don't know about you, but I wanted to immediately call him and say, do you know you left that there? Now, I stopped and I asked myself, See, because this is what I think we have to do. We have to question our thinking. I said, Maggie, why do you want to call him? And I said, because he needs to know he was wrong. Oh. I said, so how would it feel if he called you? So how do you want to be with this? You see, we have to ask ourselves in everything we do, because that rabbit hole is really easy to drop into, isn't it? Or is it just me? Please say it's easy. So now I'm having this conversation with myself, and I said, well, now you have choices. You can call him and tell him what he did and be so right. Or you can, with all the love, because you see, if he wasn't in my life, it would not be as much fun, or as adventuresome, or as joy-filled, and give me the opportunity to grow in a greater way. So I said, okay, you have a choice. So I went and got the special broom and the little dustpan, and I swept it up. And with every sweep and with every point of cleaning it, I just couldn't love this person in my life any more than I do, and greater, because of that. I told him about it. He said, what was it? I said, I'm not telling you what it was. I'm just telling you how I learned to listen to my thinking and change my thinking. This is what Science of Mind is all about. Change your thinking, change your life. It changed me in that moment because I recognized that I could choose who I was going to hold anything against and hold nothing against because of love. So, even though I say Reverend Maggie, spiritual leaders on my chest over here, there's still a point of darkness. There's still a point of confusion in the light. doesn't mean I'm bad or wrong or you're bad or wrong. It just means choose again, choose again, choose again. Everything asks us that. And those of us that at times are in the darkness and we can't see any light and we can't see that there's any way out, know that at the center of your being there is light. Even if you don't feel it at the moment. And it's all whole and it's whole, perfect, and complete. This is what this physical life is, in my opinion. It tells us we are constantly loved and we are constantly held. And if we look deep enough and we question our beliefs and we learn more about who we are, that we can expect to experience a life beyond our wildest dreams. And because it is infinite, the thing itself is infinite, there's so much more to learn. And it's up to each one of us. And yeah, sometimes life looks pretty dark. It has for me at different times. But I can say that this works. And I invite you each to work it. So let's see. I'm sure I have much more to say. The other thing I found this morning is if the baker doesn't help and the yin and the yang doesn't help, just think of the divine, of God, as your Wi-Fi connection. Today, we have Wi-Fi everywhere we go. We have God everywhere we go. And every once in a while, it needs that connection needs to buffer, doesn't it? And sometimes we don't get a really good connection, do we? Lately, we haven't been getting a real good connection. We have to choose again. Choose again. Look at the infinite, the divine, the thing itself, as your greatest Wi-Fi connection and stay connected. I guarantee you a life beyond your wildest dreams. Let's take that into prayer. So just taking this moment and breathing that in and taking a breath into our very being and saying thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for this life that lives within us, this breath that breathes us, this very nurturing essence that surrounds us and is everywhere present. It is that light. It is the love. It is the divine presence in and through all things seen and all things unseen. And it is the very life that breathes within me. And I recognize that I am the beloved place where God shows up. And I breathe into that. And I breathe into that with love. And I breathe into that with a greater knowingness that yes, with God, all things are possible. And I trust in that. And I have faith in that. And what is true of me is absolutely true for each and every one here this morning and those friends and family members that can't be with us today. I know that right where we each are, there the divine, the thing itself, the beloved is. Waiting for our welcoming it, waiting for our asking it, waiting for our opening in consciousness to deepen our connection to our own divine self. Use me, God. Oh, use me. And let me know that there is a greater truth beyond all situations, beyond all conditions. That there is only one baker. Only one creator, and it is part of me and it is a part of you. And together we know this. Together we trust in this, even if we don't see evidence of it today. We know that in the darkness there is light, and in the light there is the darkness, and it's the balance and the order of this life that we live, and we give thanks for that. And so much more. And we stay open and receptive to that divine guidance. We trust it. So greater than what I can ever speak in words is already taking place in the mind of God, and I know this. I live it the best I can. And so I release my word into that ever-living, loving law of God, the thing itself, and I trust that it returns to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. For we are full of it, and it is the life that is full in us. And we give thanks. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you're in agreement with anything I've said here you would like to be, please join me in saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.